So guys, I went out for a nice Valentine's Day dinner with the girlfriend last Friday.
Congrats.
Nice flex, bro.
So there are a lot of restaurants in Denver, if you can believe it or not, that are really hard to get a reservation at. So the place we went...
On Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
When you call day of?
No.
It's a little dicey.
Let me explain. So we even made this reservation 3 months in advance.
Wait, you made this reservation 3 months in advance? Holy
but
crap.
The latest time we could get was 5:45. So we had a 5:45 dinner on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
But by the time 9, 10 o'clock rolled around, we were hungry again.
Yeah, that happens.
What'd you want?
So you know what we did?
Did you go... Hang on a second. Did you go to Bojo's?
We did not go to Bojo's. We ordered Bojo's.
Oh, wow. You can DoorDash.
You can order Bojo's?
You can order Bojo's
is this
on DoorDash.
I can't tell if it's funny as I can't tell if this is a true... I think it's a true story.
I think so.
Of course it's a true story. Of course.
To convince
that's incredible.
Either,
right? Yeah, the thing we really wanted was a Colorado Mountain Pie.
You know what we should do? Do you think they would deliver to Pepsi Center?
Yeah.
Would they deliver to Harrison's apartment?
Right that's now? True, right next to it.
Yeah.
I love it. What did you order?
Meat lovers and then a veggie.
You make fun of me when I, because I like the Supreme pizza, but you broke it into two pizzas. That's what a Supreme
right,
is.
Yeah, that's true. You just took the ingredients and dumped them all in the one pie.
I don't necessarily like my meats mixing with my veggies
this
on
is
pizza.
A take. This is such a take.
Do you go one slice? Do you alternate slices? Do you alternate bites at a time?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
That's funny as I think Harrison's true about this. Well, that was a great hat read, all timer. Welcome in, everybody, to the DNVR Nuggets podcast live from Harrison's home.
Is it live?
Well, no, not live. Well, it's live as we record this.
Yeah, what do you guys think of the place?
It's beautiful, it's nice. Man. It's really nice. It's actually exactly what I pictured.
A lot of kitchen space.
Yeah. The kitchen is like half of the entire apartment.
Well, that's... I know you're into cooking, Harrison. That's big.
You got the flowers. I can tell you're a great boyfriend. Nice work.
I love you. Who got those flowers for who?
I'm not going to even answer that. I'm gonna pretend I didn't even hear that one.
I'm joined, of course, as always, by Brendan Vogt.
Hello.
And Harrison Wind.
Feeling good, man. Fresh off of All-Star break.
Yeah.
Everybody's refreshed.
Ready to get back into it. Ready for the stretch run.
You're in a good mood, but you know who else was in a good mood?
Michael Malone.
Michael Malone was in an A-plus mood today. Mm. He must have had a great break.
Got some skiing in, he said, right? Some downhill skiing.
So he dropped another all-timer today, as he is known to do. Oh, man, did I already ruin it? Or did I already lose what it was called? He, you know Malone, he's dropped Keystone Cops. He dropped some crazy ones from time to time.
Shoot out at the OK Corral.
Today he
hands up Harry.
I think he referred to
I don't even want to talk about
asked
that.
Asked him how good of a skier he is, and he compared himself to Susie Chapstick. Anybody?
Not a bell.
So he said, really, I'm no bell. Susie Chapstick or something like that, which apparently is a reference. All the references are from like way back in the day.
It's got to be a troll folder on his desktop full of references.
You know what? What if it is? I bet it is. Has to he be, looks dude. Around. He sees all of our young faces.
That's exactly.
You know what? I'm going to throw these out left and right. And, of course, you know, everybody laughs. Oh, Susie Chapstick, totally get you, bro. Oh, yeah, you're no Susie Chapstick.
I'm no Michaela Schifrin. I'm no Lindsay Vaughn.
No, he didn't drop those. He didn't drop
I'm just
those
no Susie Chapstick.
I love Malone, especially Happy Malone. It was so fun. Like, honestly, we're lucky we get to cover this dude because he really is, like, fun, happy Malone when he's not, like, angry and pissed and short. Mm-hmm. Fun, happy Malone. And, look, he gets to be whichever version he wants. But today we got the happy one, and it was like, oh, man, this is great.
Do you ever have that friend in high school who you feel like almost got, like, overcredited for when they were a good time because they were usually such a moody jerk?
Oh,
and you
have
to tiptoe around. The one day they're in a good mood, everyone wants to hang out with Brandon now. You're like, dude, Brandon's kind of a dick.
I like that he's talking about himself. Yeah. You know what's great about this? What's great about this is there's a Pearl Jam song, Off He Goes. It's sort of about this exact topic. It's a great song.
Pearl Jam,
my favorite.
Cool or not cool?
Cool. It's, man, cool. Objectively cool.
Pearl Jam's cool.
I'm telling you, they're objectively
I'm cool.
I know, I know that the youngins don't, you know, that it's dad music. We talked about this. That's dad rock, and I'm cool with it.
I like it, but I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, if I put on a live
and
at
there
a party,
he goes.
People are going to be like, rip it.
Like we always. Is this a good Eddie Vedder?
Sure.
That was a good Eddie Vedder. Yeah.
The only Pearl Jam song I can really think of is that one on the Bill Simmons podcast right now.
Really? That's so funny. That's so funny that he got that as his lead in.
And now?
That picture me Pearl rolling. Jam. Yeah. That's cool. We need to get Nathaniel Rateliff to sponsor our show or something. Also dad rock, but also cool. Give me some more dad rock. Let's turn this into the dad rock pod.
Do you like Talking Heads? I'm a big Talking Heads
guy. Are you really?
Yeah, huge.
See, they're a little bit more...
You get along with my dad, man. My dad was a deadhead.
Your dad seems pretty chill. But a
deadhead is different than...
But he also loved Talking Heads.
Does he party?
Yeah.
He parties. Yeah, he's silently nods.
He gets it.
Talking Heads is a little more like street and... dirty and like weird.
Yeah. It's not super rocky per se.
Yeah.
But it is. I remember going through my dad's old records and I found Talking Heads like right before I went to college. So that really almost passe, like, you know, getting into your parents' records and stuff at that age.
Yeah. Talking Heads is good though. It's good.
Must Be the Place is like a top five favorite song for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Top five. Songs are the one thing that you can't make a top five on, though. I know. I feel, because it just changes based on your mood and everything else. Like, you can, this is my favorite song, you play it when you're in a bad mood, you're like, turn it off!
Yeah,
I don't want that. Guys, today is a special holiday. Nikola Jokic's birthday.
25 years young.
He has risen.
No longer a part of the young core, yes or no?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, so it's 25 no longer young.
Man, that's a great question. You guys should know. How old are you? Is this an appropriate 26. Question? But you're older than Jokic. How weird is that?
I'm glad you brought it up.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I'm older than Millsap.
Yeah, that must. Does that ever evoke like a existential Millsap crisis?
So old,
when they're calling Millsap like the grandpa who needed a dad walker for his for his birthday. And you're
that brings me up. Did Millsap return the favor today, per the reporting of Katie Wingy? Some Gerber baby food, which is such a classic Millsap joke.
The fact that he was so specific, Gerber.
I know, Gerber.
I love that it's a fairly good joke, but when he delivered the punchline, it wasn't funny. Like, classic Millsap. I got him some Gerber baby song. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, Millsap is so funny, man. I love that he's on this team. I hope he's
I feel like 24 is probably the cutoff for young. 24 and under.
Yeah.
Those this are is all Jokic's like the... fifth year in the league.
Those are all the hip lists, right? Best players under 25.
You know what's weird, actually? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's two lists. It's under 23 and under 25. So, and it just kind of depends on, you know, what you're trying to look for. Because I know a lot of people will shoehorn this into, like, what player they desperately want. And, like, they want Giannis in. Like, okay, you have to be 25 by May or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite is when they're like, by the cutoff date, though, is May 3rd. Like, well, is that because LeBron's birthday is May, you know, whatever. So,
But I think 25 through 30, like, that's a window of your peak, right?
That's your prime.
I would say Jokic has entered his prime. And it's a long prime. Your prime goes from, like, 25 to 32. So he would be at the early, the waning.
Sure.
What am I trying to say here? The waning cycle of the peak. So his real peak probably 27 to 30, but then there's 25 to 27, which is like the early, and then 30 to 32 is the old. So, oh man, happened so quick.
Doesn't he seem a year older though? Here's a real take. Doesn't he? Doesn't he just seem like a 25-year-old who's ready to, I'm coming back for my fifth year. I know how to do this. I got to be the best player. I'm ready to go.
Yes, I do. We've talked about it. I do think there has been a maturation process with him this year. But I'll tell you what else. He was the opposite of Malone today.
Not thrilled to be back.
Not thrilled to be back, man. Well, at least not thrilled to be back in the scrum. Who knows about the... But, you know, we talk about this. We joke about how Jokic kind of goes through those lulls in the beginning of the year. And you could tell it's like, man, vacation's over. And now I have to do all this stuff.
Yeah, he didn't even get a vacation. He got one day.
Dude, he looked to me. And I'm not reading anything into this. But today he kind of looked like, back. Really wish I could take like three more days off.
Yeah.
Vibe I got from him.
Yeah, I agree. But I do think your earlier point was spot on. Like, that probably has far more to do with us than basketball. Really.
We ask him such fun questions. And like, I know, he doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. Another thing with Jokic today, ESPN interview with him, he says that he has lost 20 to 25 pounds. Now, we shouldn't be surprised because he was big coming into the year and he's really like the thinnest we've seen him in a long time right now. But something about 25 pounds is still shocking to me.
It's a lot.
He was up over 300 pounds at the start of the year. I mean.
You think?
I think. Based off what you're I understand like about what he weighs now and what he's saying on the 20 to 25, he was up over 300.
Do you guys watch Curb?
No.
There, no?
I used to.
Oh, man, I had a...
I'm late to the party.
There's a great episode this week about a... he needs to get people's weight, and he has a carnival guesser. Anyway, you were basically...
That's me.
You're the Jokic guesser. Carnival guesser right now. You're
look, like, I'm secretly what would you on guess the, that way? On the Jokic guess. Weight beat. Yeah. You weigh...
probably told you a dozen times. It weirdly comes up a lot.
You weigh 245.
That's a good guess. I'm about 235, so 230.
What about me?
I added 10 to make fun of you.
Oh, you dick.
You weigh 185.
That's about right. He's good.
He's good.
He's good. He's good.
Now you just have to step on a scale in front of me, and then I'll know for sure.
We get no carnival teddy bear. No, 25 pounds. It's funny, man. Like,
so it's 25 pounds, though, in November, December, January. 3.5 months?
Dude, no, because it didn't start until December 5th or 6th or whatever it was
Two plus months? 25 pounds?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if this was a Jenny Craig ad, he would be the poster child. Be 25 pounds. Do you guys know Jenny Craig?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We get that one. Thanks for checking, Dad.
All right. I don't know. 25. I don't know what else would it be. Anyway. No, P30X? Is that what it's called?
P3.
No, P3, that's the training facility, the professional one. I'm talking about, there was a DVD you would get.
Yeah, P30X.
Well, I thought it was going to be
P90X.
Why parlay this into
the yoga discussion? P90X, yeah.
Yeah, P90X.
Did you guys ever do Insanity?
That's the same thing, more or less. Yeah, my wife liked that one better.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Is it hard?
Very hard.
Dude, I suck at those.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Well, some of them, like, you have to, like, jump, and, like, I'm too tall. Like,
you're a big dude.
Yeah, I hit my head on the ceiling. So,
how many pounds is Jokic going to lose by the end of the year?
He can't lose anymore. I honestly don't know that he can. I know that's a crazy take. I don't think he can lose anymore. He can get more muscular, but I don't think he can lose weight.
I know there's, like, a notion out there. I don't know. Did this come from him? Is this confirmed that he kind of prefers to play a little heavier?
Yeah, he's talked about that in the past.
He has talked about that.
So I don't think he would want to
get... He feels stronger when... He's got a lot of weight.
Can we play pop psychologist here?
Please.
I wonder if any level of that was sort of self-excusing. Like, I think there is something to it. He uses his weight phenomenally. Like, he knows how to use it to his advantage. But look, he did lose the weight. And I don't think he lost the weight because someone told him. I think there's a little bit of, like, a realization of, okay.
It was a little too hard.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I think that Anthony Davis matchup really opened his eyes. And maybe it's one of those things where it's like, I know that's the guy I have to go through. And for him, I need to be more... all around or whatever. So.
And it's not like he's any less dominant. Like, if you think about how he looked in the playoffs compared to right now, he was a beast in the post in the playoffs. He's a beast in the post right now.
For sure. Maybe
to the same degree.
He might even be more of a beast. Dare I even say a double beast this year? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. No, but you know, like, my point, Brendan, is you ever, like, you know, you study for a test and you get a B and you're kind of pissed, or C, and you're just kind of like, well, I didn't study that hard. Like, yes, you did. This is a self...
For sure. No, I know exactly what you mean.
I wonder if there was a little bit of that with his early weight. Anyway, he looks phenomenal. I honestly don't know if he can lose any more weight.
I don't think he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be concerned if he did.
Right.
That's how great he looked. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine us saying this on December 5th? Be like, 2 months from now, we're going to be talking about him losing too much and maybe needing to bulk up.
I saw some speculation on Twitter today about a possible Photoshop and a Clutch Points edit because the tricep was popping. I maintain, no Photoshop was done. The triceps are coming in. Jacked yoke is on the way.
That was the most hilarious edit.
You guys know how awesome it would be to get a truly jacked yoke. Oh, my God.
If he just comes back next summer with, like, 3 abs and, like...
Yeah, you're just like, oh, is that Plumlee over there? Oh, my God, it's Jokic. You know what's funny is I can picture a ripped Jokic still 11 dunks per year.
He's not catching lobs. Why he's not dunking.
Well, will Jokic ever catch a lob in his career?
Yes.
They will run some bullshit play for him to catch a lob one of these days.
Yeah, I think so.
That's an interesting one.
But I could also imagine a jacked Jokic coming back and people still saying he needs to get in shape.
Oh, for sure, yeah. A specific ESPN reporter or play-by-play person. Anything interesting from what he said today? I mean, he gave very short answers. I mean, he wasn't into it too much. But anything stand out from today's scrum with him?
He did say that when asked if he felt maybe more like he belonged there at All-Star Weekend this year, he said it was a little bit like he got there and he was a little nervous to practice with all the guys being the guys, right? The greatest players in the world. And then he got there and Chris Paul came over to him and dapped him up or something like that. And he quickly realized, oh yeah, these are just guys. These are just people. I don't know if that's interesting so much as just a fun quote, because I do think through the TV, we saw Jokic that embraced this weekend a little bit more.
No doubt about that. He definitely seems, and we even thought that going in that he kind of was looking forward to it. And years past, it's like, ah. Oh. But I feel like he kind of looks forward to it. We could throw out that narrative about, oh, he slumps early on because he doesn't want to be in the All-Star game. I think he genuinely enjoys it.
And everybody I talked to said he was considerably more comfortable and just outspoken and just way more just into everything this year than last year.
Other than the game.
I think a fun, you know, step like projecting would be at what point in his career does Jokic show up to All-Star Weekend, not just looking to get his one bucket, not just looking to get his one celebration in, but because he's there routinely as one of the nationally understood 8 to 9 best guys in the world.
Where would he have been in that game if he was in the fourth quarter? Like, what would his role have looked like? I mean, Embiid was posting up, so he'd have been guarding him, which would have been fun. But on the other end of the court, what's he doing?
I think he would have been where he was when he hit that three at the end of the
third. He's probably spacing the floor on the three-point arc.
Wide open.
I mean, the end of that game was weird, man. The end of that game was so weird. You had an Embiid post-up. You had a LeBron 40-footer. You had just a bunch of guys going ISO one-on-one. I feel like Jokic would have been just chilling on the three-point arc waiting for the kickout.
Yeah, being completely forgotten about as guys go, okay, there's LeBron, there's Kawhi, there, and then Jokic is wide open.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll ever be the guy? Or one of the guys, I should say. Maybe not the guy, but one of the guys that's like, yo, we got to get to Jokic on this play. I mean, there was LeBron.
I don't think so.
There was Giannis. There was Kawhi. You could tell that Chris Paul, surprisingly, had kind of like stepped into the role. There was 5 or 6 guys that was like, those are the guys.
I don't think so.
Really? No. I do.
Will he be used and viewed that way by
his peers,
his coach, his peers, right, amongst?
And I think yes. I don't think it'll be like for 10 years like LeBron or 15 years like LeBron.
But for two.
But I do think there'll be a few years where it's like, yo, it's Jokic's world right now.
I mean, if we're being honest, it went like 5 possessions before someone could score a point when they're playing 157, and you're like, well, the most clutch player in the regular season's on the bench, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it could be his world. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to translate into an All-Star game when you've got – you know, just the guys. LeBron, Harden, Kawhi, Paul George.
Yeah, the Jokic thing gets pushed back down to cute, you know, not
Westbrook.
Like,
another thing about that came out of the scrum today, he was asked about, like, if he feels like the team can reach a peak or whatever. Mm. He said, I hope not. And part of this is just semantics, but he was, you know, I hope we always have something better to be. Basically, that was the gist of it. It's like, I hope we always have, we're always just climbing, always getting better. And I kind of like that attitude and mentality. Not we read into these quotes sometimes too much, but I thought that was a good one. I thought he did a good job on that.
I think it falls into a background of Jokic quotes that paint a picture of a guy who is not very consequentialist. He's more concerned with the process, right? And the idea of, hey, how do we get better? And how do we turn tomorrow, regardless of what happened here tonight, and continue that process?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And this is the first time I'm hearing it because I was not in that scrum earlier, but This is classic Jokic. You know, he never takes a loss too tough. Yeah. Never gets too high after a win. That was a great point. He always does see the long view. He was not panicking, you know, at any point over the last couple of years if the Nuggets had dropped a couple of games in a row. I feel like it's his classic take on the season. He knows it's long. He knows there are going to be ups and downs. And I think he's spot on to say, I hope we haven't, you know, we won't reach our peak in the regular season.
It almost is like a Mamba mentality thing, right? Maybe not right down the middle of that brand, but it is an element of, like, once you've looked for your peak, you've almost lost in a sense, right? Like, we're trying to get better every day. There is no best. There is no you're there. You've reached it.
There's only one team that's ever reached a peak. That was the 2014 Spurs. I genuinely believe that team reached
like
peaked
out. Yeah.
That was the best they could have possibly been. Yeah. It was really impressive.
They were peaking.
Yeah.
Team basketball.
I meant to tell you, this is a good segue into our discussion on the Colorado core, but I was listening to your guys' show yesterday and I really enjoyed how deliberate you were at trying to say hop peak.
Well, I've got it because people legit come after me.
But he would be talking at this pace and then he would stop and say hop peak.
Somebody will literally knock at my door if I don't enunciate the hop peak IPA.
The hot pink IPA? It's so funny. It's very funny. All right, well, today's Colorado course. So tell us about it, Harrison.
It's an amazing beer.
Oh, actually,
you should check
what?
It
actually,
out on the breakfast.
Time out. I have a challenge and you have to do this. Technically, I'm your boss. You have to do this. I want you to do this ad in your best Michael Malone impression. This is Michael Malone endorsing the Colorado court.
I wish you guys could see how over the bullying Harrison through his reed bit he is.
Well, on Friday, I went and watched my daughter play volleyball.
This is your impression.
And then Saturday, went up to Breckenridge.
Breckenridge,
right? Got some good skiing in.
Okay. Do you think Michael Malone had a Colorado court? Excuse me.
That's what I'm getting at.
Mr. Malone, what did you drink while you were in Breckenridge?
Well, I had a couple Colorado cores. You know, I avoided the Vanilla Porter Jr.
Wow.
Oh my God. You nailed it. Just not ready for it, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, let's check out the Colorado core for Breckenridge. Michael Malone wasn't the only coach up in Breckenridge, actually, I learned. Wes Unsell Jr. also went to Breckenridge.
Do you think they were together at all?
They were not together.
Can you imagine, like, what a bummer if you're on the mountain away from everything and, like, Wes Unsell's like, oh my God, Michael Malone skis right up to him, like, you can't be kidding me.
You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah, check out the Colorado core.
That was a great job. Well done, Harrison. That was a great read. We have one more.
Yeah, also check out Strava Craft Coffee. No way that I would rather start my day than a hot cup of Strava.
I'm almost out. We need to work a deal where Strava gives us a like non-lifetime supply.
You're almost out because I go to the office every day and I take as much as I possibly can from the pile. It's changing.
Wait, so we
life.
Actually have this deal? I just didn't
know.
No,
yeah, they give us a bunch of coffee. I'm serious. I show up twice a week and I take half of it home with me.
I gotta start learning this.
Yeah, man.
You guys could get 20% off. I don't know if you knew. Using code DNVR20 online. Nice.
Yeah. Check it out. They're really good. Great way to start your day. Great job, Harrison. I might make this a recurring bit. Reading the lines is everybody. There's a couple other things. Oh, so Malone, is there anything we can take from Malone's scrum today?
We should probably just talk about who's healthy coming out of the break.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one, yeah.
So, the three guys who were hurt before the break, Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., Mason Plumlee, all seem like they're going to be back for Friday against Oklahoma City. Maybe Barton isn't. He's the one that's they're being most cautious with.
I was very surprised by that. I've been telling everybody that Plumlee was the guy that was probably going to be the latest. But with Barton, and again, he's stressed, and I believe him. It wasn't like that, like, an, you know, they're being very cautious with him, and I think it's smart. I think, as Malone said on day one, media day, he said this is a 110-game season, not an 82, and I think that's exactly what the plan is here with Barton and Denver's depth. They've got guys that can take his spot and only take a little bit of a dip, not much. But it was surprising because I didn't think Barton was actually injured. I thought he was just tired.
Yeah, load management.
Yeah.
And he did say, when asked, he reiterated, there wasn't necessarily a catalyst, a moment where Barton got injured. Maybe just some wear and tear from what's been a we've hit it on this pod on an almost overlooked workload for Will Barton.
Barton's 29. It's not like he's 23. He's 29. So, I mean, this stuff pops up for a lot of guys once they get out of the under 25 category.
There's also the element of Barton went through his first major injury of his career last season, and there was a mental element to it as well. They needed him to come back maybe perhaps a little too early. And so now you got Barton back. He's in a good place mentally. Why mess with that, right? Take your time to let him get back mentally and physically so we don't get ourselves anywhere near that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of sucks because I'm really curious to see this team at full strength, and even if it's only like two or three games. The nice thing about the Nuggets schedule is I think they play Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, and then Friday again. So there's no back-to-backs and even 2 days off, you know, before that fourth game. So hopefully he's only down a game or two.
And the other thing is Malone said that, you know, you've got two options coming out of the All-Star break when you're a head coach. You can say, all right, I'm going to establish my playoff rotation right now, 8, maybe 9 guys, and then push that into the playoffs. Or you can really rely on your depth and make sure guys have as much energy as possible or as healthy as possible heading into the postseason. And that's what he's going to do. So I'd expect Denver to go pretty deep into their bench here, at least over the next couple of weeks.
Hmm. Plumlee being healthy was a surprise because, again, he was the one I thought would be a little bit late. And then Michael Porter, You know, he did mention that Michael didn't go through all drills, like all contact, but he did go through some contact and some five-on-five scrimmaging. So it sounds like he'll almost certainly play on Friday, but it's at least noteworthy that they're also being a little slow with him.
And I don't think that's surprising.
Right.
Porter's, I mean, we've talked about this on the pod all year. It's always going to be in the back of your mind with Porter. Any injury. Yeah. You know, it's all connected. Back, legs, it's like all connected. So they're always going to be cautious with him.
I'm curious, though. I mean, maybe I'm just being too paranoid. Certainly I am. But, you know, you are curious about, like, oh, we're going to start him out on a minutes restriction, 10 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And then, like, how much do you just settle into, well, this is working. We're 2-0. Like, why don't mess with the program? I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when it happens. But Denver, maybe not as early as Friday getting everybody back, but certainly soon.
So, and those some interesting questions that follow, right? If Mason Plumlee is healthy, like you just brought up, Harrison, it sounds like he's not necessarily eager to establish his playoff rotation right out the door. So probably safe to say we can expect at least some of four bigs in the rotation down the stretch here.
Yeah, well, Millsap was coming off the bench before the break, and Malone also said today that, you know, once he gets that minute restriction lifted that he was playing with, he'll move back into the starting lineup. So yeah. No surprise there. And yeah, that does get us to the question, okay, what's the bench going to look like? Because the bench had been playing so well,
right?
You know, with that three big look with either Grant or Millsap as that small ball five. If everybody's healthy, are they going to go back to Plumlee Grant? Are they going to try to go with three bigs? Or are they going to try to mix Millsap in with that bench unit? That, to me, is, you know, a big storyline over the next couple of weeks.
Jamal Murray also talked to the media today. Jamal Murray's never that – not. I shouldn't say never. He's rarely that interesting of a quote, I feel. And today he was pretty short. Is there anything you took away from
him? I wasn't there for that one either. So
I literally couldn't hear him.
He didn't say much.
But before the break, though, he did say how he was looking forward to the All-Star break to get his body right. And yeah. Then also work out and train with his brother, which is something he always talks about. Right before, you know, they go on summer break, right before the All-Star break every year, he's like, yeah, I can't wait to train with my brother, his younger brother. I've always just thought that's super interesting.
I would say he was in a great mood. He was upbeat. And the one thing to me that kind of stood out was he was asked about, well, he said he didn't watch, he didn't see the Jokic video. He was asked about the Jokic video where he's coaching that went viral and has over 1 million views. He did not know of it, according to him. And then also he was asked about making the All-Star game this, you know, next year, and he had an interesting quote. He said, yeah, you know, I didn't deserve it this year. I didn't have a great start to the season. And I don't know why I like those quotes. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times players are defensive, and we know, who was it, Jackson Hayes, that didn't get to the rookie sophomore game and like went on Twitter and did his, like, it just embarrassed himself. I kind of like that Murray just kind of owned up to it, and it was like, it was more of a motivator than it was like I'm getting overlooked.
I mean, he sets the bar high for himself.
He does.
And that's one thing about, I know we're wary of like a bias developing, right? Or hammering Jamal too hard because of he's the second best player on a title contender. But again, like, Jamal thinks of himself, as he should, as an uber talented, one of the best players in the world, whose goal is to be the best of the best. So if that's, you know, how he's viewing himself, a really good sign for him to look at that and say, hey, objectively, categorically, I've come up short of that bar.
Yeah,
I liked it too.
All in all, it was fun to be back and seeing everybody. It was good to see Bol Bol in the gym. It's been a while since I feel like I've like seen him around the guys.
Do you think Bol Bol's ever like just throwing crumpled up paper into a trash can? Has he ever missed once in his life?
No, the guy's touch is amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's just one of those guys. He just, every time he puts it up, I'm like, that's it.
I really want Bol Bol to be good. We'll wait till next year to find out. Let's go to our final break, Harrison. Then we get back. We're gonna BS, have some fun.
So the Green Solution, they've got 18 car locations. That's a ton of freaking locations. Yeah. If you download their app right now and use code DNVR20, you guys can get 20% off your entire purchase.
Great deal.
Have you used that deal?
I have.
Yeah?
20% off your entire purchase? Think about that. Those purchases add up quick.
Do you think there's a ton of weed between 18? You said that's a ton of stores. Do you think there's a ton between 18 locations?
Like literally?
A literal ton?
I don't know, Adam.
I don't know either. That'd take a lot of math. I feel like it would be a lot.
Maybe.
Maybe we're way off. This is like, guess the M&Ms and you could be off by like 1,000.
Yeah. But I bet no other...
I think there's 70. I'm sorry. Yeah,
there's no way any other weed store in Denver has 18 locations. Or in
weed
Colorado.
Store. Dispensary?
Weed dispensary.
I like weed store better.
Yeah, but download their app. Use code DNVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase.
Guys, I want to talk about The Ringer today put out one of those graphics, the table. I don't know, how do memes begin? Like, there's this picture of a cafeteria, and that's all
knows.
It is.
Yeah.
And everyone knows this is a new meme, right? It's so wild to me. Anyway, there's a meme, there's a cafeteria, and everybody, you know, you could pick a table. The Nuggets got placed with Nuggets Twitter, Wizards Twitter, and Pistons Twitter.
Yeah, I love the Nuggets, but I would not want to sit at this table.
You know what that table is? That's the, oh shit, we forgot about these three teams.
I was going to say. The whole point of bringing this thing up is I was like, why are we with the Pistons and Wizards?
I don't think I've ever interacted with a Pistons or a Wizards fan.
Don't really even know what that Twitter is like.
Probably
not a great place.
Yeah.
You're 100% right.
A lot
that
of weird memes.
Forgotten Twitter. I don't have anything else to say.
I have a question for you guys. Which fan bases would you want to sit with in the cafeteria?
Whichever one is furthest away from the Lakers.
I want to sit with Bucks fans because in my head I have placed Milwaukee and Denver in a similar place in the league.
I want to sit with Grizzlies fans because they seem like Denver 2 years ago.
Ooh,
I like that.
There's some cool Denver.
And
some
I
cool
like
Grizz.
The Grizzlies, and we've had some good battles.
Yeah, New Orleans. We can be with our buddy Christian.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. For sure.
What else is there? What are the other good Twitter? Minnesota, I feel like there's some people I like.
Yo, if you're hearing this, comment on the Twitter post of this podcast. Tell us what your favorite fan bases are.
Sacramento, I think, is actually pretty good. I like Sacramento. There's some funny Sacramento. You know what it is? Loser fan bases have good Twitters.
You
like,
have what else
you
do
have?
You have
to have like a good thick skin. You have to have a good personality, and you have to be a real one. Otherwise, you're going to lose. There's some really bad. I think their most fan bases are the same other than the bad ones. The Lakers, obviously, the Jazz, the Rockets. There's just like a few that are worse than the rest.
The Blazers.
The Blazers are pretty ridiculous. Lastly, on the docket today, guys, Coach Boeheim stepped down. Is it Boeheim or
Boeheim?
Boeheim? Boeheim or
Boeheim?
Boeheim.
Boeheim Co.
Boeheim. Well done. That's a great pun.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I find this story kind of funny.
Funny. I find it kind of sad.
Well, sad. But I find it funny in this one way. I really dislike Dan Gilbert. And I remember when LeBron went to Miami, he guaranteed that they would win a championship before he would. And then he just like completely screwed everything up. And then
in
LeBron came
sense,
back
yeah.
and won one for them.
Yeah.
And then I think the split, you know, when LeBron left, I think there was a little Dan Gilbert of like, okay, now the pressure's off. I'm going to show them. Is there a worse organization outside of the Knicks maybe right now than that? I mean, the Cavs, if you're looking at that team, somebody put this on the other day. Colin Sexton has been in the league for a year and a half. He's on his fourth coach and will be fifth once they hire a full-time person.
LeBron's
been gone for a year and a half. They're on their fourth or fifth coach.
Look, I never thought Boeheim was going to be any good. Taking a coach from a college is just not a good idea. Just
Especially
don't do
an
it.
Old one. Like a Brad Stevens that's young and hasn't been in the institution of like...
There are so many other amazing places to pluck coaches from.
Yeah,
and then you choose
are.
The Big Ten.
Yeah. So and he did have... He was like a college coach's coach.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What was the story that came out where he like named his plays after animals?
Yeah,
like polar bear,
cubs,
eagle.
Yeah,
and you're like,
yeah,
dude, I'm an adult.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Man. There's no
Kevin
way.
Kevin was like, I won a championship. I'm not going to say polar bear on the court.
But the other thing is like, this is obviously a symptom of a bigger issue, like you were saying. Like, this is the Cavs. This is Cleveland. This is kind of what's been going on for the last couple of years. And, I mean, I know if you're a prospective head coach, and there's a couple on this Nugget staff who could draw interest and who have drawn interest before, it's one of 30 jobs, but...
Right.
I mean, man, it feels like a death sentence at the same time.
I think Joe Vardon of The Athletic, who... Is he still on the Cavs beat? Not
no,
on the beat
I think
anymore,
he's, I think
right?
He's just now.
But he was in Cleveland for a long time, and he said he doesn't think... doesn't think Boeheim ever wanted the job. I ever really enjoyed that job. Ever loved it. And I just find that interesting.
I mean, he didn't enjoy it because it's tough to coach in the NBA. Like, look, man, I have some real takes about this. And I really genuinely believe this about, like, college and, like, the college coach and this idea of, like, the disciplinarian who gets no – there's no checks and balance. They just get to scream at kids who make no money and they get paid millions of dollars to do so. And, like, I just – so for me, like, oh, he didn't enjoy it? He didn't enjoy – have to actually persuade and lead people that – being in the NBA, one of the most impressive things, I think, even about, like, a Michael Malone, you look at it and say, like, man, these dudes all make more money. They're not all, actually, but most of them make more money than he does. They're more famous. They have all the power because if any moment they want to say, fire this dude or I'm out of here, then he gets fired. And somehow there's no nonsense in this locker room. And I think Beeline got – yeah, Beeline, it's no surprise that he went in there and failed. But here's the other thing. He also is like the old school traditional guy, and he's quitting very quickly into it. And I just find there's something to me – and this one I say funny. You're right. It's a sad funny. It's a dark humor. But what's the line in Joker? I used to think it was a tragedy. Now I realize it's a comedy. That type of comedy where it's just like, oh, yeah, this dude came in here and he's literally quitting on his team 1 year into a 5-year contract or 4-year contract. Like, my goodness, man.
Yeah, it's a bad look for him. I would think he's going back to college, but apparently he's getting reassigned to another place in the organization. In the
Cavs organization. I thought I saw Woj tweet that out.
I feel like that is a
– it's such a Knicks move, first of all.
And also, like, I wonder if there's, like, you know, this has to be an agreement. And I wonder if there's, like, well,
right.
I'm not quitting. Well, okay, what if we make you chief of, I don't know, like, you know, fine, then I'm head of scouting? Well, what do I have to do? Nothing. But that's your role.
Head of insight and foresight.
Yeah.
That's Clippers? The department in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City?
I think it's the old Magic GM, Rob Hennigan. Director of Insight and Foresight.
Insight and Foresight. What is Lee Jenkins's title? Doesn't he have a great
one? Yeah. It's like narrative development or something that. Yeah.
Player narrative. That's so great.
I think your comparison between Denver and Cleveland is interesting because they're both young locker rooms.
Right.
These guys can't – like, it's not like you have a bunch of locker room cancers in Cleveland.
Right.
You got a veteran in Kevin Love. They've got some veterans here in Denver, but – just how both situations were managed is just interesting.
Well, allegedly, Drummond said something about, like, I'm not staying here if he's here. And he'd only been there for 2 weeks. Like, he just arrived and was like, look, guys.
I'm sure it was like, Colin Sexton, how's this coach?
Yeah, dude, trust me.
Oh, what am I getting myself into?
So they were playing songs with the word thug in it. Every time he would come around, they would bump it up. Oh, there's another detail, actually, about today. Do you guys notice this?
The music?
Music blaring today in the practice facility. Why is that noteworthy? Because they're never playing music.
I think.
Are you sure about that?
I think
that?
They just usually remember.
They're almost
to shut
never
it
playing
off
music. They're almost never playing music. I mean, sometimes they'll play it, but most of the time in that practice room, they're not playing. Or in the locker room. Remember when the Lakers were in town and we were in the cafeteria and you could hear the music from the Lakers down the hall. I think it's a very common thing, and I always go back to Richard Jefferson. He talked about this when he was here. He's like, nobody talks. It's the most boring locker room. The guys, there's no music or whatever. Yeah. And there's just a trade. You get Jordan McRae, you get Noah Vonleh, you get Kata Bates-Diop. I wonder if many of the new guys came in and are like, yo, what are you guys doing? You don't play music?
Well, it's funny because in the locker room last year, they started playing music, I'm pretty sure, because of IT.
Mm.
Post-game.
It is funny,
Jordan
though.
McRae is probably the DJ out of that group, I would say.
Funny though. I mean, you mentioned LA. Houston comes into Denver and just makes themselves at home.
Oh,
they're
dude.
They're blaring music. They're stretching in the hallway.
Houston has so much Houston energy. Yeah,
they can't.
They bring all kinds of equipment. They're like measuring people's fingernails. Like, they're doing all this stupid like biometric stuff in the hall.
Excuse us, Tyson's warming up. I'm like, yeah, I'm in the press lounge.
They are like that.
Tyson, your your body fat is 0.1% off what it was yesterday.
But I wonder,
you
never see Denver do that, man. You never, like, even on the road in my few trips, I never see Denver really like that cocky feeling ourselves energy. You know what I mean?
They do have quiet
and I wonder if there's something to that, if it helps.
If you need a guy that's like, yo, no. Because I felt like that's what the Lakers were doing. Because when they turned that music up, wasn't it after the game?
Yes. Yep.
It was after the game, and they had just won in Denver for the first time. And I remember it feeling to me a little bit of a, like, this is our house now.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, we turned the music up to 11.
That's what I'm saying.
We took the remote to the TV. And so, yeah, there is – it does feel like – maybe we're just reading into it, but it certainly felt a little bit like some swagger. So, I don't know. The Nuggets lacked that type of – so they have a different type of swagger, but they lack – and today they had the music.
Should we hit some questions before we get out of here?
We should. Let's wrap it up with those.
All right. So reminder, guys, we want your questions. We need your questions. The Broncos crew gets like 50, 60 questions a podcast. So
I don't want 50, but I want 10.
We're trying to get up near that level. We're trying to get into double digits. So
in the offseason, I want 50.
Yeah. Members, hit up thednvr.com. Comment on this podcast on the site, and we'll read the questions on our next show. Troy 5266 asks, what would Jokic look like in a triangle offense?
First of all, yeah, so triangle, you need to have a good passing big. But here's the thing. The triangle offense just doesn't work anymore because it requires four players inside the three-point arc most of the time. So,
and it's just boring. Nobody wants to watch that.
Yeah, but, you know, the triangle, there is a lot of cutting. There's a lot of opportunity for the bigs to make passes, especially backdoor cuts and reads. So there's a lot of posting up. So I think he would look good in it relative to the time frame, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, but he definitely has more creative input now, would you say? Or in the peak version of what this offense should be.
So the idea behind the triangle is that it should be a free-flowing offense. There's a structure to it. There's a floor balance element to it. But you can always go to a bunch of different reads, and each read rolls into any other read, so you can constantly be moving. So in that what sense, I do think he would pick it up very quickly, and he could run it, and there'd be something to it. But the one thing it doesn't generate is three-point shots. Like, you have to have an offense that can generate threes, and it just doesn't.
Well, the Nuggets can't hit three-point shots.
So it'd be great.
Hey, try it out.
Hey, you know what? Let's do it. Triangle offense.
WP Nuggs asks, what are the greatest factors you see that will lead to our success for the rest of the season, and what would our rotation look like with Gary Harris benched? Is that even a possibility? Or would he just move to the bench unit?
I feel like we talked about the Gary Harris part of this a little bit over the last few. I mean, I don't see it happening until the playoffs unless he was absolutely abysmal, because – there is a scenario where he's just so bad, and it's like, guys, we're better with Barton starting at shooting guard and Craig coming off the bench, and
he's out. Not to be a jerk, but I mean, how, like, 1-for-12 instead of 3-for-12?
No, I mean, it's more about the Nuggets. You know what I mean? Like, the Nuggets can still win with him, and so you can talk, but if Denver went on, like, they lost 6-of-10, 7-of-10 or something like that, and it's like, yo, we need to figure something out.
Right.
He's the guy. Mm-hmm. He's the fall guy.
He's such a good defender, too. It would be tough to pull him entirely.
I don't think. It's tough if Denver's still winning, because it's always hard to be like, oh, we're on pace for 54 wins, but if we changed it, we could have been on pace for 58. Like, that's just a tough sell. But if you lose and you go from the 2 seed to the 5 seed and you're like, we got to do something, that's what I could see. Or playoffs, where, again, if you're down 1-0 or down 2-1.
That seems like a playoff.
And that's
decision.
Obviously Barton 2, MPJ so, 3, right?
I think it would be Barton. Yeah, that's
well,
what I would
Well, I don't think necessarily. No, you got Torrey Craig.
To me, that should be. Yeah.
I should say ideally.
Ideally, yeah. I don't know. But I think there's a real chance Barton and MPJ would be it. And then Torrey Craig's your backup 2, and then you're just playing 8 or 9 guys.
Mm-hmm. Corbin Green
writes in. What was the other question? What does it take to get in?
What are the factors?
Yeah, seeing? Just what needs to happen to
Murray needs
have
to,
success?
Murray's shot needs to be up there. He needs to be taking the threes. Jokic needs to be the guy we've seen all year, which I expect we'll get. And then I think Porter needs to be playing a lot, and he needs to be playing like he did at his best, which you should accept. I can't imagine that MPJ has peaked as a player
in January.
I think we can get that version.
Also, they'll need Barton. They'll need Barton, especially in the playoffs, I feel like, just to knock down open shots.
Yeah, he'll need to shoot.
So, yeah. Corbin Green, what's the best food at Pepsi Center? I'll admit I don't eat the food at Pepsi Center other than the media stuff, so I'm not sure.
Grilled chicken wrap, but I know they remodeled redid the food stuff, so I don't know.
I don't know either. I also don't eat the food. It's pricey. When you're going to a game, you're like, yeah, I'll spend $20 on a burger, but when you're there every game for, like, us.
My feeling, like, if you can find, like, a chicken wrap or a burger is probably the move.
Ranch Man chimes in.
Ranch Man. What's up, Evan?
There's been quite a bit of discussion on what lineups might be in the final third season and in the playoffs. My question is not how those lineups might impact the postseason, but how they will impact the offseason. You guys know as much about the front office as anyone not named Woj. How do you think the conversations unfold between Tim Connelly and Mike Malone about lineups, particularly in light of the fact that Tim Connelly requires empirical evidence of how the team may operate next season with lineups we haven't seen very much of, if he is to have the necessary data points for making roster construction decisions in the offseason? I suspect these conversations are not as executive-driven as strategic decisions a corporate CEO must make, but at a certain point, does a coach's game time discretion have to meld with the general manager's longer term horizon? After all, in the end, only one of them is the boss.
Man, that is a good question. Wow.
It's fascinating.
So as far as the alignment, I think a lot of it would have to do with who the individuals are, obviously, like who kind of has seniority in the league, but also like when contracts are expiring and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, if I'm Malone and I was just recently extended in a hypothetical situation, I'm probably less likely to respond to pressure from up top to play a certain guy because, look, man, unless we lose a lot of games, I'm not getting fired, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I will say this. I've had conversations with the front office that they don't – I don't think they like to apply pressure. Whether they feel a certain type of way that's different from Malone, I don't think Tim or anyone ever comes down and says, hey, Mike, here's how you do it. Here's how you have to do it.
That's definitely a last resort type thing.
Yeah. And it's also like, again, there's something about when you're on an upward trajectory that it's like, let's not – you can always think things can be better.
Right.
You win 73 games like the Warriors did, and you can like, man, we could have won 75 if we'd made this tweak or whatever. Like, you can always think that. If Denver ever slumps and goes backwards and it's like, man, they're just not the team they used to be and it's not just a weeks-long slump or 2 week or whatever, then I can imagine it's like, hey, man, this is what we think's happening and you need to do it. And maybe there's – but I just don't think Denver operates that way at all. I think they occasionally have conversations that say, hey, what do you think about this or that? And I think Malone's receptive to him. But I think at the end of the day, Malone is the decision maker, and they respect that for now.
They acquire the players. Malone determines who plays, who doesn't. And this is interesting because didn't this situation kind of apply to Malik Beasley looking back at last summer? Beasley coming off the year he did. Maybe Denver thinks about trading him last summer. They think, all right, is this guy going to play next year? Is he not going to play next year? And then 12 games into the season, Malik Beasley's out of the rotation, and his trade value goes down.
Yeah. I think they don't see eye-to-eye 100%. I mean, because of things like you just said, they probably would have traded Beasley if they thought he was going to be out of the rotation by game two. But, you know, the flip side of that is I just think that they stay in their spaces for now. And that probably goes the other way as well. I think Michael Malone, you know, he has input. He's mentioned in draft decisions and things like that. But at the end of the day, if he really loves a player, but Tim Connelly doesn't, he's like, Tim Connelly, that's your call.
And I do think there's a pretty healthy stay in your lane culture.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thanks so much for those questions, guys. We always like them. Keep them coming. Tomorrow we're going to – it's our last episode tomorrow before the return of the games. And then from then it's going to get crazy. Of course, I want to remind you – so tomorrow's show we'll be recording, then Friday show live, or I guess that is Friday show. Then Saturday we'll be doing a live post game for Friday's game at Oklahoma City. I know it's a Friday night, but
it's early though. This is the first national TV game I can remember in so long that's the early game. It's a 6 p.m. start.
Well, look forward to that.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, that's wonderful. I forgot that could even happen.
I just made your day.
We might get home by midnight. This is great, guys. How awesome. This is so cool. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I want to say, if you have not, leave us a 5-star rating or review. We got to get this up to a 5-star pod. I think it's a 5-star pod.
I'd like to think so. I'm a little biased.
I'm a little biased, too, but I think it's a 5-star pod.
What do you think? Is it a 5-star pod?
This is a 6-star pod.
Wow. A 6-star pod. Well, I'm with you on that one. So leave us a rating and review. Say some nice things about us if you don't mind, and it'll help us get that up to the 5-star rating that we feel we are owed. We are not like Jamal Murray. Humble. Oh, no, we should be better. We deserve this. We're like Jackson Hayes.
Thank you. iTunes can suck.
No, that's what he said. Yeah, that's right. It's even worse. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Question for you guys. Where do you fall on the post-dinner coffee?
4 a.m.
Adam?
I'm against it.
That was so predictable.
Get up all night. You can't.
I'm for it as well, but I've never tried it with a Strava Craft coffee. I kind of want to. You have? Is it hit the spot?
I'm not really recording, so yeah, no, it always hits the spot. Strava Craft's the best coffee.
You guys, purchase Strava Craft coffee online. You can get 20% off your purchase using code DNVR20. You can try this at Carbon Cafe and Bar, Drip Denver, Slow High Coffee, Blue Sparrow Coffee, and Max Market. Pretty cool. Remember, purchase online for 20% off using code DNVR20.
Mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.